नमः प्रणवार्थाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पात् विग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमेड्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिता हिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहम् प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुगे नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। तद्विद्धिप्रणिपादेन परिप्रश्नेन सेवया उपदेक्ष्यन्ति ते ज्ञानं जानिनस्तत्त्वदर्शिनः। आफ्टर् ग्लोरिफयिङ्ग् ज्ञानयज्ञ which is in the form of gaining self-knowledge, which is in the form of knowing one's own reality. Now Bhagavan says, how to gain that self-knowledge? In this shloka, Bhagavan is going to prescribe certain conditions for gaining that knowledge. The simple answer for the question how to gain self-knowledge is, after preparing yourself with enough emotional maturity, approach a guru and he will teach you the reality about yourself. In the last class we were seeing a Upanishad mantra based on which this Gita shloka is told by the Lord. That Upanishad mantra is Pariksha lokan karmachitan brahmano nirvedamayat nastya krita kritena tad vijnanartham sa gurumeva abhigachet samitpanihi shrotriyam brahmanishtam. Having gone through the experiences of life and having an analytical mind and learning capacity from the experiences of life, if a matured person comes to a conviction that everything has a beginning, has an end. So I cannot cling anything in the world because everything I come across happened to have a beginning. For my survival I can use them, for my transactions I can transact with them, but for my happiness, peace, security I cannot hold on to them. That is the emotional maturity required for this person who want to know the reality about himself. The conviction is given in this mantra as nastihi akritaha kritena. Akritaha means permanency or that which doesn't come under the cause or effect chain. So I want to hold on something which is not dependent on something else. That itself is dependent on something else means if you hold on, both will swing this way, that way. So this person who has that maturity to know that everything has an end, so he wants to know, is there anything which doesn't have beginning and end, which is called in simple language, is there anything, a permanent entity in the world which I can come across. Saha gurum eva abhigachet, saha tad vijnanartham eva abhigachet, saha abhigachet eva samitpanihi san, saha shrotriyam brahmanishtam gurum eva abhigachet. That eva kara is there in that mantra. Therefore we get four types of instructions from the simple looking statement. तद विज्ञानार्थं एव अभिगच्छे, Shastra says, don't go to this type of people who have this knowledge, who are jnanis, to ask some small favors of life. Don't go to that. Last class we saw. After gaining maturity only you should go. Saha eva abhigacche, saha vairagi eva abhigacche, tad vijnanartham eva abhigacche. To know that reality only you should go. Not to have chit chat. And you should go. You cannot avoid going to someone who has this knowledge. Because there is only one way to gain this knowledge, is gaining this knowledge from the Guru. In the last class I told a small story. I hope you remember. A person who has visited to burial ground, suddenly found a statement on a one particular cemetery. He died out of misprint. I hope you remember. So this person was wondering how a person can die out of misprint. So somehow he managed to get that address and went to the family members and asked, how a person can die out of misprint? What happened? Your father's name is there. What happened? How he died? So the son told, what to do, sir? My father has had a peculiar habit of self-medication. So whenever he gets a disease, he will not go to a doctor. He will treat himself by seeing the ready reckoner, medical ready reckoner. There one day he had consumed one tablet, that day he died. Afterwards we came to know that it is a misprint. Instead of printing citric acid, the publisher has printed as nitric acid. So that will be the condition of any spiritual seeker who refused to go to a guide. There are some arguments against going to a guide. Some people, they are good people, they are devotees, but they argue in these three or four arguments are there. They argue, our guru is our own mind. Our guru is our own mind. So this argument doesn't have any validity, because our mind is colored by our own whims and fancies. So it cannot be a guide for us. It cannot be a objective guide or proper guide for us. So there was a drunkard. He was taken to a rehabilitation center. So the doctor was trying to convince, many drunkards are there, he also is a participant. So the doctor trying to convince that alcohol kill you. The alcohol kills you. So he has brought one glass of alcohol, another glass of colored water, juice something. So he caught hold of one scorpion and put it in the colored water. Scorpion nicely moving here and there. Then took the scorpion, he asked the audience, have you understood what happened? Yes, it is nicely moving. Then he took the scorpion and put it in the alcohol. Immediately the scorpion died. Now the doctor was asking the audience, from this experiment what you come across, what is your conviction like that, what is your understanding like that, he was asking. So this drunkard says, sir, after knowing this experiment, I have decided to increase my alcohol intake. Then doctor got I am teaching this just to reduce your intake. This fellow is just telling, after this experiment I will increase my intake. Then he asked, what is the reason? Now I understood, sir, alcohol kills all the germs which are in my stomach. Therefore lot of germs are there, doctors have told, so I have decided to increase the alcohol. So how colors? Your opinions, your thought process, everything is colored by your own whims and fancies, likes and dislikes. So our mind can never be a guide as long as it is not purified, as long as it doesn't have vairagyam. First thing. Second argument is there. Atma is guru. For us, Atma is guru. They read some here and there books. So they can come to know Atma is guru. Atma cannot be guru. Can you imagine? If Atma is guru, all will be what? All will be what? Jnanis. All will be jnanis. Because Atma is everywhere. There is only one Atma. It is all pervasive entity. And that too, manifested in your mind also. So if Atma is Guru, everybody will have Guru. There is no need for Shastra to say that, sir, Guru Myeva Abhigachet, go to Guru, it doesn't need to say. Then third argument is there, God is our Guru. Objective. So God is our Guru. So many Mahatmas we see, without any Guru they gain self-knowledge, they gain visions, they gain so many things, siddhis. So like that they argue. For that also Shastra says, or tradition says, no, God cannot be your Guru. There are two reasons for that. God cannot be your Guru. There are two reasons. Why? If God has to be your Guru, you should be his student, na? You should be his student, his disciple. So once you say, Bhagavan, I have become your disciple, he gives an address, go to Kshotriyam Brahmanishta Guru. Don't come to me, I cannot teach you. You are not qualified. How Bhagavan teaches generally? How generally Bhagavan teaches? Bhagavan means not in avatara, Vishnu Loka or something. How he teaches? He teaches through mind to mind. Brahmaji got that wisdom, na? After the creation, Brahmaji got wisdom not by oral teaching, but by transmission of the knowledge, mind to mind. So you cannot claim that you are that much a purified person, that much qualified person. And Bhagavan says in the Shastra, Bhagavan himself says, I have given a system of learning. I have given a textbook of learning which can teach you about your reality. I have given that Shastra Sampradaya, people who can teach to you. Even if I come to world as a human body, I also will do same thing. I also cannot use mind to mind transmission because the qualification is not there with people. So very same Lord says, go to Guru. Shastram is the words of what? Veda is the words of same Bhagavan. So he himself gives, go to that address. There is a mechanism. I cannot wait for anybody's coming and it's not a gift box to be handed over. So I have given a system, a mechanism, a Shastra Parampara. You go to him like that. When he himself says that our argument that God is our Guru will not hold water. Then fourth category is there. You need not go for any Guru. Simply sit in meditation. Close your eyes and ask, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? This is Neo Vedantin they are called. Who am I? You ask. Our Acharya Swami used to tell, if you ask who am I question and close your eyes, answer will come certainly, but the answer will be, you are idiot, you are lazy, you are 5 feet 6 inches, you are black color, you are love failure, you are dropped out. Because the answerer, who is the answerer here? My own mind. Who is the questioner? My own mind. How both the questioner and the answerer can be both in the same people? The source must be something higher than my knowledge, something higher than my understanding about myself. So that also is cheating oneself. So therefore, samitpanihi san sat gurum eva abhigacche. That evakara is very very important. So first evakara is what? Saha eva abhigacche. That vairagi, a person who has that maturity, he alone should go. That vijnanartham eva abhigacche, to know the reality only, he should go to that type of teachers. And he should go only, he cannot avoid them. Fourth one is, what type of teacher Bhagavan is mentioning here? Kshotriyam Brahmanishtam Gurum Yeva Abhigacche. Kshotriya means one who was a disciple of someone. In his younger age, he would have been a disciple of someone. He would have got that Shastra Jnanam or Vedanta Shastra Sampradaya Jnanam. He has the key how to open the treasure called Vedanta. Not only he knows how to teach, He is a man of very teaching itself. There is no gap between the teaching and himself. What is that Vedantic teaching? Ultimate Vedantic teaching is what? Tad tvam asi. Correct? That is the ultimate Vedantic teaching. You are that reality. Don't look here and there. You are the only reality. You are the only reality. When a person hears this, naturally he will not accept initially. So he has to go through lots of questions and answers. Finally, when he gets conviction that I am the only reality, who gives reality and existence to the forms of the entire creation, including the forms of the Lord. In one of the stotra, our Shankaracharya says, Shesham Mayat Kalpitam. All forms, not only human forms, animal forms, or entire worldly forms, all the forms of the devatas also are given by me. I give existence. Tameva Bhantam Anubhati Sarvam. I shine first in my life, then only entire creation, including the Lord, stands. Correct? As I told earlier in earlier class, Bhagavan cannot come and prove that he exists. In the absence of human being, Bhagavan cannot come and prove his existence. How you know? So to whom he will prove? He will not go to buffalo or donkey. Hey, wait. Because human species is not there. Human species is not there. So he cannot go to buffalo or monkey or donkey. Wait. I am the creator. What they will do? They will jump or they will shout. Nor he can come to human species without any form. Suppose without form he comes and teaches. What you will say? So he cannot have it. Therefore, I am the only reality. When I say I am the only reality, what is the meaning of I? Not this physical body, nor the emotional personality, but the substance called consciousness. So that teaching and the person who is going to teach, there is no difference. He lives the teaching. There is no gap between himself and the teaching. In short, one who has assimilated the teaching is called a Brahmanishtaha. For whom? Aham Brahmasmi. I am that eternal reality is a fact. So this type of guru very rarely available. You won't find them in market bazaars. Understand? Even though they are in the city, they may be in the city, but they will be hiding themselves. No one can find out who is this jnani. Because according to Shastra, 99% of humanity is ignorant. Ignorance means what? One who thinks that I am a limited individual. One who thinks I am so and so. If anybody asks a biodata, he will tell I am so and so. Son of so and so, daughter of so and so. With the age, so and so, like that. One who gives this biodata is called an ignorant person, and he is a blind man, like a blind man, blindness with regard to his real nature. So a blind man cannot find out a man who has eyesight. Understand? How you will find out somebody has a science knowledge? How you will find out? You tell. How you will find out somebody has science knowledge? You will ask his degree, na? The degree shows that he has science knowledge. Who has given that degree? Somebody who is more intelligent than that person has given the degree. Correct? So you cannot find out somebody's knowledge by seeing him. Similarly, here also you cannot find out a jnani. You cannot find out a jnani, but here this mantra says, Guru Yeva Abhigachet, that type of jnani only you should go. So naturally the question comes, how to find out that type of knowledge? Shastra says, don't try to find out. Qualify yourself with the maturity, automatically you will be taken to that type of teachers. From your stage, find out a person at least a Kevala Shrotriyaha. Kevala Shrotriyaha means what? Only he is not a realized soul, he is not a jnani, but he is a disciple of someone. He is a disciple of someone, he has studied the Shastram and his life is a devoted life. That type of person you find out. A clean, pure person, a sadhu who has learned the Shastram and who conveys the teachings of the Shastram objectively. find out that that person is called a kevala shrotriyaha, then go to him. There is a possibility he may be a brahmanishtaha also, because you don't know whether he is brahmanishtaha or not. If you are convinced that he is a shrotriyaha, you can approach him. This is for what knowledge? Now we are talking about the guru. Guru, not music guru, dance guru, yoga guru, then exercise guru, because now corporate guru, so many gurus are there. The guru word is very peculiar word used by so many people. I am not talking about the guru of these types. Here the context is guru for self-knowledge. Not even we are talking here about the guru for mantra diksha. Not even we are talking about guru for dharma upadesha. Dharma upadesha gurus are there. Mantra diksha gurus are there. We are not talking about them. To do dharma upadesha, to give mantra upadesha, there is no need for the knowledge for that guru. He need not be jnani. Simply, his qualification is what? Kevala Shrotriya. He is a disciple of someone and his life is pure and he is devoted towards the Lord. These three qualifications are enough to get mantra diksha, initiation. The same mantra diksha guru may be a jnani also. Since you are not able to find out whether he is jnani or not, simply you see whether he is a disciple or not, first thing. And whether he has come in the sampradaya or not. And whether his life is clean or not. Whether his life is pure or not. This much only we can see. His life is clean or not, we can see. There are so many indications, ways of life. Just one or two days you stay with him, then you will come to know. Whether he has come from any sampradaya or not, that also you can see. And whether his life is dedicated to the Lord, that also you can see. There are four types of gurus. One is Shrotriya Brahmanishta Guru, topmost. Who is meant for? Atma Jnanam. And he can be used for mantra diksha, dharma upadesha, anything. Bhagavan Krishna was topmost guru, na? So many people used him for so many reasons. Ultimately, Arjuna accidentally found him as a brahmanishta guru. Accidentally found him. Understood? First is a Shrotriya Brahmanishta Guru. Second is Kevala Shrotriyaha. Kevala Shrotriya means one who has been the disciple of someone, therefore he will not misguide. He will not misguide. He has the communication skill also. He can communicate. Because one who learns has the capacity to communicate also. Properly learned person will communicate properly. Then third category is Kevala Brahmanishtaha. Kevala Brahmanishtaha means he is a Brahmanishtaha, Jnani. But he did not study any scriptures like our Ramana Maharishi. Like mystical teachers are there. So many mystical Mahatmas are there. Through some mystical experiences, they have got this Brahmanishtatva, Jnanam. And that too Shastram says, no, it is not accidental. They have worked for this in many Janmas. Little bit was left out, Yoga Brashtaha they are called. Little bit of the obstacle was there in the previous Janma. Now, while birth itself or in the early age of their life itself, young age itself, they got this knowledge. They are prodigies. Come across music prodigy, mathematical prodigy. Like that, in that field, they are prodigies. They are called Kevala Brahmanishtaha, third category. But he cannot teach. He can guide you. He can guide you by telling simple things. Go to Lord. Pray to him. To do this mantra like that. But Vedanta, he cannot teach. Therefore, Shastra says, don't go to him. For Vedantic knowledge, don't go to him. Then fourth category is Ashrotriyaha Abrahmanishtaha. Neither that fellow is a disciple, nor he is devoted to the Lord. Self-proclaimed gurus are there. Now they are famous. Everywhere TV you can see. This guru, that guru, so many self-proclaimed gurus. We don't know about their training field. Who was their teacher, we don't know. From which sampradaya they got the teaching, we don't know. And from where they have taken the sannyasa, we don't know. But they are popular. So Shastra says, never go near also. Never go near to them. Asampradaya with murkavatu upekshaniyaha. Shankaracharya says in his commentary, he says, this type of the fourth category is there. Huh? This fourth category should be considered as idiots. What a beautiful, sympathetic comment. they should be considered as idiots. Once you consider someone as idiot, naturally you will not go near to him for learning, nor you will hate them, because idiot, anybody can be idiot. Okay, so neither they know anything about the Lord, nor they are sincere and dedicated to the Lord. Therefore, a seeker should approach either Kshatriya Brahmanishta or Kevala Kshatriya or Kevala Brahmanishta. Fourth type we should not go at all. So, we come to the shloka. Here Bhagavan says, Tad Viddhi. It's a very, very important shloka. Therefore, whole class I am going to talk about this one shloka only. Because lot of problems are there with regard to this guru. Who will be my teacher? What type of teacher he will be? In what way he is relevant in my spiritual life? So will he cure my disease? Will he cure my cancer? Will you bless my daughter-in-law to give birth to male child? These are all problems are there. So varieties of gurus and mahatmas and self-proclaimed acharyas and TV popular acharyas are there. So what is the opinion of the Shastram with regard to a guide? So three guides are allowed in our culture. One is, just now I told, Kevala Kshatriya, a simple innocent man, a monk whose life is clean, devoted, and who has a disciple of someone. Second one is a person, mystical jnani. He is a jnani. His life is so beautiful, like Ramana Maharishi, but he is not a disciple. So therefore, Kevala Brahmanishta, second category. These two categories can be used for Mantra Diksha and Dharma Upadesha. Dharma Upadesha will make us to follow certain values in our life. So he will be a stark example in leading a life of values. Our guru will be a stark example in leading a life of values. Therefore, just by following him, two, three words from him, I will give you what you call inspiration to follow the values. Then second is to get mantra diksha, taking one particular Ishta Devata mantra for the sake of purity of mind. For this also, you can either go to Kshatriya, Kevala Kshatriya, or Kevala Brahmanishta. But after following the values, after purifying your mind, and after getting the vairagyam towards the entire creation and sense pleasures, when you are in the quest of a reality, that time Bhagavan says and Shastram says, these two people will not be helpful, and you go to Kshatriya Brahmanishta. So Tad Viddhi. Now you understand, Arjuna, now you understand by what means this Atma Jnanam is gained. By what means? As I told, by approaching a competent guru and by learning from him. Guru Upasadana and Guru Upadesha. Bhagavan says, three aspects should be fulfilled from the point of a student. Humility, questioning, and readiness to pay. So if you want to gain any knowledge, these three aspects are necessary. Humility. You should consider someone greater than you in that particular field. So naturally humility will be there. Then questioning nature. What is this? How can it be like that? So you are questioning and learning. Then you are ready to pay the price, maybe in the form of fees or something. So what are the three aspects in this learning, in this self-knowledge, field of self-knowledge? Bhagavan says, pranipadena prakarshena nichaihi patanam sashtanga namaskara we have to do. It is a sashtanga namaskara we do to the Lord. Na? Similarly, Bhagavan says, pranipadena, as even you go to that person, do sashtanga namaskara, and it is the expression of your humility. By doing sashtanga namaskara, what you want to say is, I am ignorant and I know you are knowledgeable and I value your knowledge. All the three is important. I am ignorant with regard to self And I know that, I know means how you know, because somebody told. Somebody told, so with that faith I have come. So I know you are having that wisdom. Then third thing is, I value that wisdom. Because without having value for that, there is no point in approaching that person, approaching that jnani. So all these are important. So the gravitational law is there, na? It applies for even learning. Always it will flow from higher end to the lower end only. Not only other materials, water, anything you put down, it comes down, na? Anything you throw, it comes down. Gravitational law. Same gravitational law applies in this field also. Therefore, the high Swami culture will not work here. Nowadays, this new culture is coming. High Swami. And they write in email also. I get a lot of emails from these students, good students. But that humility is missing. High Swami. In our culture, the high word is used for only handling animals. Suppose somebody rides a bullock cart. How they ride? Hi, like that. So that is not that our culture. That is why they have told, anybody you see wearing this akar robe as a monk, simply give respect. Simply, you may not be worthy for that respect, but simply you give respect, because whether he is worthy or not, he is reminded of becoming worthy, and you are reminded of your ignorance. You are reminded of your ignorance, and he is not worthy according to you, your value, according to your scale. Because there are some people who have scale for sadhus. Sadhus means stout it should be. I have heard really, thin Swami and Mota Swami, both are going. So people are they are telling, hey, Mota Swami, dekho. Mota Swami means stout Swami. Bada Swami. That thin Swami is what? Chota Swami. And a Swami with white dadi is there, na? Bada Swami. A Swami with shaven face, Chota Swami. Like that they have some scales. You know, if you go to Uttarakhand, they will come across. They will never respect you if you go to especially Punjab. They will never respect you as a sadhu if you are lean and thin. You should be like very this one. Because they consider that physical health is a great thing, na? So in that same scale only they try to judge others also. So according to your judgment, he may not be fit, but he may be a great saint also. We don't know. In which hole snake is there, we don't know. In Tamil they will say, "Endha puttula paambirukku theriyadhu." In which hole snakes are there, we don't know. In which mind this knowledge is there, we don't know. He may be a jovial Swami also, joking Swami also, but just you go and poke him personally or specially, then he will come across lot of honey. So we can never judge a Swami. Therefore they have given a simple law. Whoever wears this, give respect. He may be a beggar, he may be a cheat, or he may be a real sadhu also. We don't know. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to bow down to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not have anyone to bow down, because nobody agreeing. So he used to bring one donkey and cover that donkey with this akar cloth, and he will bow down. So in that way, first is what? Pranipatena, humility. I am talking about the aspects for self-knowledge. Understand? Without humility also, you can learn other sciences. You can learn other sciences. But this science is never possible, because arrogance is the greatest obstacle in self-knowledge. Arrogance means what? I am great. That I am great, if it is based on reality, it is nice. If it is based on the realities, it is nice. It is a fact. Aham Brahma Asmi. I am infinite. When I say, I am great only, I am saying. Mayeva Sakalam Jatam. From me only, this entire creation has come. Jnani says. Because it is based on certain realities, certain facts. And it is a fact for him also. But I am great based on this physical identity, our emotional identity, our intellectual identity is called arrogance. And that will make a person into more and more samsara, more and more troubles. So therefore, pranipada, that is humility, is very, very important. Then second one is pariprashnena, by asking for self knowledge. Without asking, in tradition there is a rule, a teacher should not teach. Na prashta kasya chit bruyat na cha anyayena prachyatah jananapi medhavi jataval lokamachare. This is the instruction for teachers, for jnanis. Without asking, don't tell. Without asking properly, don't tell. So how to? Even if you know, you behave like an idiot. Jadavat. Jadavat means what? Like an idiot. For so many people, when Sri Ramakrishna was in physical body, then so many people consider him as what? Mad. So many people consider Holy Mother Sharada Devi as ordinary widow. Correct? But how much knowledge they had? Those who have come inside their inner circle, they got benefited. And that too if they were matured people. So without asking, Atma Jnanam should not be given. There are so many reasons why for this. Why Atma Jnanam should not be given? If Atma Jnanam is the only solution, and if it is going to relieve entire humanity from the sufferings, why not it should be given door to door, like our missionaries? They come and knock your door. Correct? And they say, I have a good news. Good news means, what is the meaning, you know? If a Christian missionary comes to you and knocks your door with a good news, what they mean is, so far you are in trouble because of original sin. Now I have come with a good news. The good news is, there is a savior. There is a savior. These are all code words in their religion, in their missionary. So why can't you also go? Why you hide yourself in ashramas and mathas and forests? Shastra says, when a person comes to you and comes to you means comes to a jnani and do namaskara, that namaskara may be for some other reason also. So it can be for dhanam, dhanyam, pashum, bahu, putra, labham. It can be for the sake of wealth, for the sake of health, for the sake of putra labha, or it can be for, it may be for the sake of arthi nivarana. He has lot of problems in his life, so he wants some tayat. Tayat means what? Some kavacha he wants. So like that, it can be for arthi nivarana, or it can be for employment also. Swamiji, so many devotees are coming to your ashrama. They may be corporate people also, big officers. And I am unemployed, why can't you search a job or recommend? Another boy, he came, I am searching for a girl, Maharaj, and I don't have any belief in others, so I want to have conformed girl with values, so I want from your ashrama, so do you find anyone? I told, it is not my duty. So they may come either for. And when Sri Ramakrishna was there, many people came even to get rid of court cases, get some medicines. So as soon as Sri Ramakrishna sees these type of people, he will run inside the room and he will hide and lock himself. Then everybody, his devotees, disciples will be wondering, why this peculiar behavior? Then afterwards he will be seeing like this, whether the fellow has gone or not. It's a temple campus. Then he will tell, he has come with that idea, so therefore I have to hide myself. Therefore, without knowing the intention of the visitor, if you start giving this knowledge, what is that knowledge? You are Brahman. You don't have any problem. You are infinite. You are Ananda Swarupaha. Like that if you say, world is Mithya. Like that when you say, he will tell, you are also Mithya Gurudev. Okay? So, third chapter, Bhagavan already told, na buddhi vedam janayet ajnanam karma sanginam joshayet sarva karmani vidvan yukta samacharam. Na buddhi vedam janayet, don't confuse people without knowing their intention, without knowing their capacity. Then why in this class you are telling all these things? Because I have not come to your door, you have come to my door. With all interest, I don't know whether you are qualified or not. I cannot judge your emotional maturity, I cannot judge your vairagya,
Simply you have come with that idea that there is a Gita, teaching is going on, so let me go there and learn. With that attitude you have come, therefore it is told to open. So without asking for, this knowledge should never be given there, because karma sangina, it will disturb them. A newly married man comes along with his wife and you start, old world is mithya, you know. There is a fact. Sarvam anityam. Like that, if you start to trouble, family troubles. So that way, Bhagavan will tell in the 8th chapter also, idamte na tapaskaya na abhaktaya kadachane na cha sushushave vajyam na cha mam yobhya suyati. Don't give this knowledge for abhaktas. Those who are not devotees, those who are not tapasvis, and those who don't have interest to learn, for them, don't give this knowledge. Therefore, the teacher should wait for the question from the disciple, pariprashena. If the disciple asks for simple consolation, you tell him, Bhagavan will take care of you. Pray to Bhagavan. I also will pray to Bhagavan. Like that, consolation, simple consolation. If you ask guidance with regard to values, dharma jnana, give that dharma jnana. If he comes for mantra diksha, give that mantra diksha. If he comes for inspiration, there are some people who want some boost. They don't have time also. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Something, 5 minutes is there. Can you tell something like that? So inspiration. Inspiration also, you give inspiration, but never talk about these realities of oneself. Unless the disciple asks for atma jnanam, teacher should not give, cannot give also, cannot be given. Then third category is sevaya. Sevaya means guru seva. This is also another confusion is there. Serving the teacher. What is the meaning of serving the teacher? Generally we know serving the teacher means trying to help him in his small ashrama duties. If he doesn't have ashrama, he's trying to help him wash his clothes and try to bring food for him and try to massage his legs. Like that, this is the guru seva we consider. So in our parampara there is a story. There was a guru and one disciple also was there. So he was nicely serving. Another disciple came and joined the ashrama. Junior disciple asked guru, teacher, please give me an opportunity for guru seva. So he told, all right, you also do seva. So both the now two disciples, both are in a competition. So they were now and then quarreling. Guru sa, all right side of my body is yours, left side is yours. This elderly disciple was matured man, but younger is not matured. So one day younger one was serving the guru, left side. So as even he sees the right side of the body of the guru, he gets angry. Immediately his competitor is reminded of. So he gets angry. So that desha went to such an extent, he took one big stone and simply put on the right leg. Guru, without knowing all these things, he was simply lying down. Suddenly he saw, hey, what you are doing? No. It doesn't deserve my service. Junior disciple was telling. Like that is another category. Actually, the guru seva means what? A sign of readiness to pay the price. Whatever guru asks, you should be able to pay. What guru will ask? If a guru is a genuine guru, he will never ask your money. He will never ask your money. A genuine guru will remove your avidya. A person who is not genuine, he will remove your pocket money. So not like that. So readiness to pay the price means he will put into you certain tapasya. He will ask you to do certain spiritual practices. He will ask you to do certain devotional practices that you should be able to do that. And in those days, they will never teach 12 years, 10 years, they will not teach at all. Simply they will ask you to do seva. After 10 years only they will start anything. By the time, both guru and disciple understand each other, the disciple will be convinced about the nobility of the teacher, and guru also will be convinced about the maturity of the student. If these three conditions are fulfilled, and when the guru is impressed by, Shankaracharya writes in his commentary, avarjitaha acharyaha, You are impressing the teacher, because it's the most precious knowledge in the entire creation. So you have tried everything and failed in everything. Now you have decided to gain this one particular knowledge. So this knowledge is very rare knowledge. So you have to impress the teacher. Impress the teacher means what? You have to make him to understand that you are qualified, you are interested, and you are ready to pay any price. Jnanam te upatekshyanti. Bhagavan says, they will teach you Atma Jnanam. Upadekshyanti, he says. Upadesha means what? As we told, not Mantra Upadesha, not Dharma Upadesha. This is the context of self-knowledge. Therefore, Mantra Upadesha will give you Chitta Shuddhi. And in Mantra Upadesha, there is nothing called a teaching at all. Guru will tell some mantra and he will tell how to chant it, that's all. There is no doubt with regard to the philosophical meanings of those mantras, and there is no scope for arguments. So that is Mantra Diksha is not a, Mantra Upadesha is not talked here, not Dharma Upadesha also. Because here the context is, he is talking to Arjuna. Arjuna was already initiated into Gayatri Mantra. He has already completed Gurukula Vasa and he is well versed in Dharma Shastra. He can talk about Dharma even to the Lord. First chapter he talks about Dharma even to the Lord. So he is very capable person with regard to Dharma and Upadesha. Here the Upadesha means Vedanta Shastra Upadesha. Systematic teaching of scriptural teaching. The Guru here mentioned is one who teaches the scripture systematically, not a inspiring Guru, not a initiating Guru. Bhagavan tried to be an inspiring Guru in that situation, because a very unconducive atmosphere, battlefield. So he tried to be an inspiring Guru. First chapter itself, or second chapter itself, Kutastva Kashmalamitam Vishame Samupastitam Anaridishtam Asvargyam Akirtikaram Arjuna Klaibhyam Asmagam Apartha Naitatvayu Padyate. Like that, he tried to be an inspiring Guru, because no time. But when he found that inspiration will not work, finally he took a recourse to Vedanta Shastra Upadeshaha. Here the teaching is Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. The teaching is Tad Tvam Asi. The teacher has to explain hours after hours if necessary. What is the meaning of Tad? Tad means what? Lord. That Lord. That Jagat Karanam Brahma. That creator. Tvam means what? Not this physical Tvam. Panchakosha Vilakshanaha Avastatre Sakshi Nirguna I. The I, when we say, both are there. With properties and without properties. Tad Tvam Asi. You are that. When Guru says, he has to explain what is the meaning of you, what is the meaning of that, and how you can be God now and here. Being the subtlest knowledge, it will take lots of time and explanation. Even after teaching, even after hearing, Shravanayopi Bahubir Yona Labhyaha Shrinvantopi Yona Vidyu. Even after hearing, people will not be able to understand. They will ask some questions. Like, if I am Brahman, why my wife is troubling me, Swami? He is not able to detach himself from the husband status. So it is troubling him. So he asks, if I am Brahman, why my wife is troubling me? Hey, if you are Brahman, where is the question of wife? Or some will ask, if I am Brahman, how I have become Jiva? Some will ask, if you are Brahman, where is the question of Jiva? How can I, the Alpajnaha, I don't know the even spelling of omniscience. You go and write it. Many people don't know the spelling of the word called omniscience. How can I be called as omniscient Lord? So these are all the questions. I am Alpajnaha, Alpashaktiman. How can I be equal to Sarvajnaha, Sarvashaktiman, Bhagavan? And my Pratyaksha Pramana says that I am limited. I am not even covering one stage. One chair only I can cover. You are telling that I cover entire creation. You are all pervasive, you say. I am not even all pervasive. You say, you are all pervasive. How can it be? Like that, so many questions like this they will ask. So the guru has to again start and repeatedly the meaning of I in that statement is different from meaning of I in this statement. Like that, he has to teach. Thus, Atma Jnanam is not for simple swallowing, like tablet. It is not the work, is not going to, you are Brahmasmi, you cannot swallow it. I am Brahmasmi. You are not convinced about it, you don't know meaning of that, and you sit there, soham. And if you are Tamil person, and don't know the difference between Sakara and Shakara, there is no difference between Sakara and Shakara in Tamil. Soham will become shokam, it will become shok. It is not meant for a japa. It is not meant for repetition. It is not meant for swallowing like medicine pills. Other beliefs are meant for swallowing. There is a heaven, we all swallow. All religion talks about a heaven, we all simply swallow. Correct? It is not like that. We cannot swallow because the entity which is talked here is infinite. He cannot swallow the infinite. Either it can be infinite or he will not swallow it. So, like other religions talk, na, Father in heaven has created the world. Not like that dogmas or doctrines. Father in heaven has created the earth. So when you ask who has created heaven, many don't ask this question. Who has created the heaven? Before creation of heaven, where he was? So what you have to say? They will say, don't ask question. You have to swallow. This is called swallowing. You understand now the meaning of swallowing? It is a doctor prescribes a medicine, you swallow. You don't bother about how the mechanism, what is this one, how it going to affect in my health, how I can get cured. You don't question. Not like that. If Einstein says E equal to mc square, you cannot swallow it. If you swallow without understanding, you will be like parrot. Now you can say, I don't believe, sir. Suppose one scientist says, E is equal to mc square. You cannot say, sir, I don't believe, sir. Hey, this is not the matter of belief. It's a matter of understanding. It is a fact. Whether you believe or not, it stands as a fact. Correct? Similarly, I is equal to infinity is a formula. You cannot say, I don't believe. Or you cannot say, I believe, sir. Both are wrong. If you say, I believe that I am infinite, I don't believe that I am infinite. Both are wrong. You should be able to understand. And therefore, the Shastra Shravana is not a story. Understood now? Purana Shravana is there, na? Stories. Lot of stories are there in our Hindu mythology. Puranas are there. So even after 1 month gap also, you can come, still Rama will be in forest only. Because old Ramayana deals with Rama's forest life. So here one idea is missed, next idea you cannot understand. It has a complete logical sequence, complete sequence of understanding. Unless you understand the previous portion, you cannot understand this portion. So, neither you can say that I don't believe, nor you can say I believe. So, Atma Jnanam is different from repetition like mantra. It is not like mantra, diksha, mantra. It is not a matter of dogma or doctrine to be believed. And you cannot say that I don't believe also. Even Bhagavan cannot claim faith from you. Hey, I am Bhagavan, therefore I say you are Brahman. Believe. Bhagavan cannot say. Atma Jnanam cannot be given by simple demanding the supremacy of the Lord. If it is possible, Bhagavan would have tried in battlefield. Poor man, Krishna, instead of teaching 700 shlokas, you imagine, he could have tried that method. Hey, I am Bhagavan. Believe. I say you are Brahman. Nor he tried to touch and give knowledge. This touching giving knowledge is not this knowledge. That is another type of knowledge. There are some sampradayas there. Guru gives knowledge through touching. By touching you will get some other mystical experiences and other things, but not self-knowledge. If it is possible, poor Krishna might have tried. Because it's most unconducive atmosphere. Lot of people are waiting for war. He could have touched Arjuna. Arjuna, I touch you. Close your eyes, I touch you. Then Arjuna will open the eyes. I say, jnani, not possible. So this knowledge cannot be given by touch, cannot be given by demanding the supremacy of the teacher, nor it can be thrust into the mouth to swallow without questioning. So lot of things are there. I think still this shloka is not ending. So this knowledge requires a systematic teaching. Systematic teaching of reality. Along with the teaching, the student mind travels with the teacher. Along with the teaching, it travels. The teacher jumps from one reality to another reality. Vyavaharika Satya to Paramarthika Satya. One time when he say I, he refers to Vyavaharika Satya. Another statement, same I will be Paramarthika Satya. We will come across in the Gita many shlokas. He will say, you are my, you are bhaktosime sakha cheti. Double is there. You are my friend, Krishna says. Then again says, you are my devotee. You are my devotee when Bhagavan says, Bhagavan stands as Lord. You are my friend, Bhagavan says, stands as Mr. Krishna. So in the very same statement itself, there are two eyes are there. You have to travel along with the teacher and you have to try to understand. If you don't understand, it is very natural. You are allowed to have questions. And again, repeated listening, clearing the doubts. In that way, this knowledge comes. So, about this, we will see in the next class. It's a beautiful shloka with a lot of clarity. That's why I am dwelling a long way. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane Pranada Kleshanashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha.